You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's become a host for KOA News in Denver, and he's going to be doing Broncos sideline reporting this year. NFL insider Benjamin Albright joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing all right. How about yourselves?
Good. First couple of weeks covering the Broncos, would you say that new coach, I know that Fangio is getting praise from the guy above him, Mr. Elway, saying exactly what he thought he hired, he's getting from them. Would you say that things are going optimistically in Denver so far?
Well, I would say there's certainly an air of optimism. You know, they had a little spate with the injury bug. Inside linebackers and tight ends have been hurting here. But, you know, overall, I think there's a sense of optimism. Vic Fangio is kind of a refreshing change from Vance Joseph. I was notorious among Denver media for not even attending Vance Joseph's press conferences because they were utter malarkey. And now I actually have to go. Vic says what he means what he says. So, I don't want to blow any smoke about the team I cover, but it's actually kind of fascinating. As a media person yourself, you can understand when a coach is giving you real quotes how much better that is. So, Vic's a bit of a throwback, an old school guy, detail oriented, kind of the opposite of Vance Joseph in a lot of ways. And I think that this Broncos team will probably be more competitive than they have been the last couple of years. I don't know how many more wins that's going to translate to, but you certainly won't see as many in-game coaching mistakes that you saw in previous years.
All right. I want to get into a John Elway point with you here that I had some fun with during the week. I got into a texting tete-a-tete with a couple of good friends, one of which was a huge Bronco fan, and he got all sorts of mad at me because I pointed something out. And I want you to confirm or deny that my point had at least some merit. Since John Elway took over as the general manager of the team 9 years ago now, was it after the 2010 season, 2011? So we're now in 2019. So Elway's had almost a decade, correct, in charge?
Yes, just about.
Okay. And he's got a Super Bowl under his belt, which there's how many general managers that can make that claim over the last decade? Very few. So overall, he certainly has done a good job. But to me, he's got one glaring hole on his resume, and that's he hasn't been able to find a future quarterback for the Denver Broncos. He wisely picked up Peyton Manning. He's been able to build the Super Bowl winning defenses, but he hasn't been able to find that next John Elway. In the draft this year, they decided to take a step back with an old school guy, Flacco, than rather try and go back down the young route, which hasn't worked out for them. Is it fair to critique John Elway in that one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League can't land the next future quarterback of the Denver Broncos?
Oh, it's absolutely fair. It's absolutely fair to critique anyone for their mistakes. You know, when John Elway went out and convinced Peyton Manning to come to Denver, Peyton wasn't a sure thing. He was coming off that injury. There were jokes in media that he was one vicious sneeze away from being a paraplegic. There was a lot going on with that. It wasn't a sure thing by any stretch. Peyton really did change the, realign the fortunes of this franchise. They went to two Super Bowls, losing one and winning one, and then they really haven't done much since. And that has been the problem. You know, the plan behind Peyton Manning was Brock Osweiler, who left for more money in free agency to Houston Texans. They went out and they drafted guys like Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. Paxton was a bust. Trevor was just kind of a guy. They brought in Mark Sanchez. He couldn't beat out Trevor Siemian. You bring in Case Keenum, and then you don't run an offense that really fits him, and he looked terrible. So, you know, they're trying with Flacco, a guy that John Elway's been enamored with for years. Flacco arguably had his best statistical season when Gary Kubiak was the offensive coordinator in Baltimore. And then they drafted Drew Locke. And Drew, in practice, kind of looks like he could be something special. He looks like he's going to need a little time, but they may have finally found their guy. It's just interesting to see guys that played the position at such a high level struggle to be able to evaluate players who play the same position. You go back and look at Michael Jordan. You know, his drafts have been notoriously bad as a basketball owner.
Very true.
Emmitt Smith was a draft analyst on television, and his running back picks were laughably bad. So it's interesting to note that guys that played the position at a high level, they tend not to be able to identify guys that are going to be great at the position.
You hedged a little early and said the Broncos would be improved. Don't know how many wins that equates to. I agree with you there. Who's the better of the two teams ahead of them, Chargers or Chiefs?
Well, I would say on paper that the Chargers would be the better team, but on the field, the Chiefs appear to be the better team. The Chargers have talent across the board. Really, the only weak link they have seems to be that offensive line. But they've got talent just everywhere, and deep, deep talent everywhere else. As far as the Chiefs go, I would suggest that their defense is bad is probably the best way to put it. But their offense is ridiculous. And anytime you have a Pat Mahomes, you're going to be in football games. So I certainly wouldn't bet against the Chiefs in that regard.
They did lose a couple. The Chiefs did either lost or moved on from a couple of significant pass rushers, both Houston and Dee Ford, leaving the team during the offseason. Some people I've spoken to actually think they'll be better without them and that they moved away at the right time. Personally, I don't think they've done enough to replace them. Their defense was, as you noted, ready, willing, and able to give up 35 points in any given week. Do you actually think their defense is better, or could it actually be worse this year?
I think it's going to be worse early on. They're switching schemes, too. They went from a 34 to a 43, switched from Bob Sutton to Steve Spagnuolo. They did add Frank Clark, so they do have an end that's got some talent, and that's assuming that he can keep his off-field out of the way. But, the overall pass rush, the Spagnuolo defense is predicated on getting after the quarterback, and I don't know if they have the horses to do that. The corners are bad. They've got one safety in Tyrann Mathieu that's worth anything, and I don't know that those linebackers are fast enough to be cover linebackers like they're going to need. So I suspect early on that defense is going to be very bad. Potential for improvement down the line, you never want to rule something like that out, but I suspect they're going to be pretty bad.
All right, so who's the team to beat in the AFC this year?
I still think Kansas City. Any team with Pat Mahomes is capable of putting a touchdown on you at any point in time. If it's not the Patriots, I think that the Chiefs are the other team. Now, there's a lot of talk about the Browns, and I like what they have on paper. I think the Browns are a good football team. They're just young, and they don't have a lot of experience. And if something goes wrong, they don't really have a veteran leader in there that's, to pick things up. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes in that regard. And I like the Colts as a sleeper team. If Andrew Luck is healthy, they've got an offense that fires on all cylinders. That defense was very good last year, kind of carried them down the stretch. I think they could be a sleeper team for a lot of people.
NFL Insider Benjamin Albright, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's jump over to the NFC. Rams went to the Super Bowl last year. That was the only prediction I got right before the year started, so I'm kind of hanging my hat on that one. Not many people are picking them to be able to go back. I understand Gurley's injuries at the end of the year, and we don't know what he's coming back at because, like a lot of teams, they're keeping their star players under wraps, so nobody's really gotten a look at Gurley yet. Why is it, do you think, that people don't believe the Rams can get back?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's tough to go back-to-back. I think they lost a player, in Ndamukong Suh. I didn't feel like he was a big factor last year, but he's certainly a big name. They lost a few players that contributed. When Todd Gurley went down, C.J. Anderson really carried that team down the stretch. And of course, he's moved on as well. Gurley's health is a big part of that. We saw in games where the Rams were unable to get that wide zone run game and that cut back to the left side going, the team shut them down. Vic Fangio did it with the Bears. Matt Patricia and the Lions kind of shut them down. And then Bill Belichick copied those blueprints in the Super Bowl. You saw that offense wasn't able to go. So I think there is a hesitance to buy in based on that Super Bowl loss and how effectively they were shut down.
How effective do you think the new coaching staff in Green Bay is going to be? We saw what Nagy did first year in Chicago in that division, got them right to the top and into the postseason. Can LaFleur do the same thing in Green Bay?
Well, I think it's all about protecting Aaron Rodgers there. Packers defense is going to surprise people. It's going to be better than people think. Mike Pettine is a very good coach, and they've got a lot of talent on that defense now. So it's not just a one-dimensional football team. The real question is the existence or the coexistence, as it were, between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, if they can coexist and kind of buy into each other's visions and abilities and go from there. The Packers should be on paper the favorite to win the division, maybe outside of Chicago, but that relationship and Aaron Rodgers' health are big question marks.
What's your take on the new rule in football this year that you're allowed to review pass interference penalties? Questionable both offense and defense. We've already seen a couple of examples here in preseason where it's been used wisely, judiciously, debatably so far? Is it going to be a huge factor? Did the NFL actually err by opening up this potential Pandora's box? Or was it something they had to do after last year's terrible call in the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game?
I think it's both. Incidentally, I was driving through New Orleans on my way to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl right as that play was happening, and you could feel the tension in the city. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. But I'll say that I think it's both. I think the NFL's overcorrecting based on that missed call, and at the same time, I think it's kind of necessary because I think we need to have a mechanism in place so that things like that don't happen. I mean, Drew Brees is at the end of his career, and he was cheated out of a shot to compete for a title. So, you know, I think that I think it's both. I think it does open a huge potential can of worms, but I feel like it's a necessity based on the outcome of that game.
Do you think you can skim something like that back? As you say, they might have overreacted. I mean, they got it wrong, but it might be too much too soon and have too big an effect. It might be more difficult to judiciate than they thought. Can you actually skim back, though, or is that one of those things either you're in or you're out?
I think it's one of the ones that once it's out, I've never seen them be able to pull something like that back. It doesn't mean that they can't. I mean, they could just arbitrarily say, we're not doing this anymore, and you just have to eat it. But I don't know. I think once that's out of the bag and fans get used to it, I think they'll just roll with it.
Right. Is there any rookie in the National Football League this year who you think can be a difference maker? I thought Saquon Barkley, if he wasn't the best back in football, behind maybe like a Gurley and an Ezekiel Elliott, he was right there with them. Is there anyone who can make that kind of difference this year at a skill position or on the defensive side of the ball?
Man, that's tough. I don't know that there's anybody that can make that kind of impact. Saquon was mind-bogglingly good. We had Philip Lindsay out here who was lights out, and Saquon was eclipsing him. So I don't know that, you know, I don't know that anybody can hit those numbers. I think somebody to keep an eye on might be DK Metcalf out there in Seattle. In that preseason game, I saw him put some moves on some Broncos corners that made them just look absolutely foolish. If he had had a quarterback that could throw him the ball instead of Geno Smith and Paxton Lynch, he might have had a couple of big gains in that game. So if you're looking for a receiver, I think DK might be it.
All right, you're going to be on the sidelines this year for the Broncos doing sideline reporting when they play, which means you're not going to be in front of the TV. Maybe for the games on Sunday night or Monday night if you're playing Sunday afternoon games. So that might taint the answer you're going to give here. But prior to this, you had been able to see all games, all times, if you weren't out specifically covering games. What's the best announcing team in football today?
Oh, man, that's a good question. That is such a great question. On the radio, I really, really enjoy listening to Albert and Warner, the Westwood One guys. I think they do a really good, great game day broadcast for radio. I don't know if it would be the same on television. You have a different audience and a different feel to your crew. But I would say that in terms of listening to the radio, they would be up there. I'd be remiss if I didn't put out our own Dave Logan and Rick Lewis, who do a great job. I think I was always a Pat Summerall fan. So if we're going back to old time, you know, Madden Summerall always did it for me.
Old school. We like it. Some of us old guys. Now, I'm working with a couple of millennials here. But, yes, I said earlier in the show, Madden Summerall, the greatest duo of all time. So we're on the same page there. Benjamin, thanks for hopping on the page with us today. Appreciated the insight. We'll do it again down the road.
Absolutely. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.